Good morning. I'd like to thank everybody for being here. Also like to thank this week's sponsor, the Gittleson family, Zech and Nishmas, Rabbi Yitzhak and Rafal HaKohen, Shama Shav and Aliyah. It's a wonderful chesed to sponsor a shir here. Really today we want to talk about all types of chesed. And it's a theme of this coming week's parsha, Parshas Mishpatim. In Kesef, Talves, Ami, Torah talks about the mitzvah of lending money. And we're going to talk about that mitzvah in particular. First, I'll explain why I'm giving the share. Not really the full reason yet. But this topic has been in my mind. And so I figured I'd give a share on the topic. It's entitled Help Wanted, Chesed at Work in the Business World. And okay, cute pun, Chesed at Work in the Business World. But it's a real thing. I want to go through different ideas, different chasadim that people could do relative to business. But first I'll begin with a story. You know, it's a nice thing when the advertising goes out for the share. So I meet people all over, talk about the share, try to figure out what the topic is about. So when someone heard this topic, he's like, Rabbi Kier, I have a good story for you. For those who spend some time up east coast, it's quite common, Baruch Hashem, a lot of Jews working in Manhattan, quite a few. And there are many, Baruch Hashem, Jewish-owned businesses, from-owned businesses. You know, it's a different era. People are very comfortable going to business wearing a yarmulke. From Jews there are many minyanim in office buildings. They'll have a minyan, sometimes they'll even have a shir. And people in that office building, neighboring buildings, come together for mincha. So a guy told me, he was a junior associate, an accountant, nice Jewish profession. And he went down to Mincha, one of these, from offices. And he got there a few minutes before Mincha, and he heard a heated debate between two people there. These are two from businessmen. And they were debating business. Seemed one person gave a pitch to the other that he should help him out, he should use his services, take his contract. And at one point, the petitioner turned to this other businessman and said, come on, do me a chesed. The other Baal Bas turns to him, stares at him, and says, you want chesed? Listen, from 9 to 5 is business. After 5 o'clock, you come to my house like everybody else, I'll do for you chesed. But 9 to 5 is business. Maisa shahaya kachaya. And as I was just told as I walked up here, these stories repeat itself many times. People think, business is business. Linnaeus Daiti, the Torah has a different perspective. The Torah, there's no aspect of life the Torah doesn't have guidelines, have halachas to follow. And there are guidelines to follow in the business world too. And the idea that chesed is not part of business is an untruth. It's not true. People say you can't mix business with pleasure, but one should mix business with chesed. It's a halacha. And to undo this misconception, Be'ez Hashem will lay forth the sources, the ideas that our Chazal teach us of how you're supposed to mix business and chesed. Also, I think within our understanding, of chesed, I guess there's two basic ideas everyone knows. There's a concept of tzedakah, right? Unfortunately, if you have someone who does not have means, so there's a mitzvah of tzedakah. Give him a handout. Give him money to support a person, to support an ani. Right? Really, the mitzvah of tzedakah, quite interestingly, applies even to someone who has means, someone who's wealthy, but currently lost his money. And, you know, there are people that they have holdings, they have no liquidity, they have no cash. And yeah, they could potentially sell their assets. But first of all, you have to do it at the right time. You definitely can't do it when people know that you have no money, because that itself would be a big loss. You know, the Torah talks about even helping out people. You know, an usher that loses his money, you have to help him out too. The mitzvah tzedakah applies in so many levels. We also know the pretty basic mitzvah of halva, which we'll get to in a moment. In kesef tal ves ami. And especially if you put it together with the isser of ribis, you know, it's for all of time, they've always been Jewish free loan societies. Because people appreciate the mitzvah of halva, lending people money without interest, and enabling a person to have funds, to do business, to live. So those are two basic mitzvahs, the mitzvah of tzedakah and the mitzvah of halva. Now tzedakah relatively happens to us quite easily, right? You sit in shul, and someone goes around to pushka. In New York, it's it's quite prevalent. You have cars and cars of collectors. Some people have negative Yiddish terms for these people, but we will not use those. But in New York, there are shuls. Shuls are constantly frequented by collectors, right? Here, I don't think we get into shuls as much, but yeah, we have people knocking on our doors. So tzedakah opportunities come to people. Just sit back. You look Jewish. Sometimes they knock on doors, even if you don't you live in a Jewish neighborhood. My Chinese neighbor across the street gets, you know, lots of knocks on the door. He's the only non-Jewish person in my block. But we saw two yeshiva bachurim collecting on Friday afternoon, going knocking on that door. But tzedakah opportunities happen around us. It's quite easy for us to be involved with that mitzvah. Alone, not necessarily. You know, not, you know, there are some people that approach, whether it's they have a connection with you or they know that you have a loan, gemach, so people will approach you. But outside of that, the average person doesn't necessarily get people asking him for money for a loan. Not necessarily. But we'll see the widespread nature of this mitzvah. And there's so many things that one could do to be mekayim this mitzvah. Now this mitzvah, im kesef tal ves ami, first thing that's confusing about the mitzvah is the Torah uses the words im, which literally translated means if. Im kesef tal ves ami, if you'll lend money. So then the Torah says, okay, don't charge interest, don't harass him for the money. But Chazal teach us, this is one of the few places where the Torah used the word im, if. But it doesn't mean, okay, if you want to do it, fine. Here, im is an absolute chiv. Im kesef tal ves ami is not saying if. It's an absolute chiv. That means that if someone comes to you for a loan, again, providing you have the money available, one is a chiv for a person to help the other person out. Someone asks you for a loan, im kesef tal ves ami is a chiv that one has to help out another person. Okay, you have to have everything in check. You're not necessarily mechuyev to give a loan if the person doesn't have a good history of paying back loans, doesn't have a clear path of how it's going to happen. But assuming this person could vouch, people could vouch for him, that reasonable amount of time, you'll be able to pay back a loan, and you have the money available, you have the funds available. In Kesef Talvez Ami, it's a mitzvah to give a loan. Interesting psak, just going through this. You know, a guy could say, look, if I would, you know, normally I keep my money in investments. Stock market's doing pretty well. President touts that all the time. So you know what? You take my money. I was going to invest my money in the stock market. So I saw brought down that one could count for Meiser the interest he would otherwise make in the money he's giving for a loan. You're not giving the money away. If you give the person tzedakah straight out, that's an ani. That's tzedakah, of course, that would count for Meiser money. But even for a loan, actually based this on a yesod from Yisrael Salanter, and it's still brought down, Shlomo Zalman came up with the same psak. That if you would lend someone money, otherwise the money be invested, you make, you know, you have to know what you really would make. But let's say a standard basic rate. You could take that money instead of investing it, give it to the ani as a loan, and the interest you would normally accrue, write that off for Meiser. So a loan is an important mitzvah, it's a big mitzvah, helps people out. But here's a shaila, pretty basic shaila. Okay? Person says, okay, look, I have X amount of Meiser money, and there's lots of worthy causes out there to give. Today's share is not going to go through the scope. What gets kedima? That's a very, very important halacha in terms of tzedakah. What institutions, what individuals are first in the pecking order when it comes to tzedakah. Very, very important halachas, but it's not the scope of today's share. But you have money. So I want to put aside $5,000, $10,000 for one of two things, for helping out poor people. I have two choices. I could either give the money tzedakah to an ani, right? I could spread the money out. I could have a fund I give out to aniyim, whatever it is. Not getting involved. Should you do more aniyim with less money or one ani with a sizable amount of money? That's also a discussion. There are a lot of halakhas of tzedakah. But I'm asking one simple question. I could put the money in one of two funds. I could either put the money to give straight up tzedakah money, a fund to give out to needy people. Alternatively, I could set up a loan gemach. Then I give this money for a loan. Which of the two should I do? Right? You have $10,000. Okay, you can tell me, okay, I can do five for both. Okay, great. But these two I want to focus. What would get kedima? What is a more ideal mitzvah? To give tzedakah, a straight out gift to an ani, or halva, to give a loan? So I would think the answer is tzedakah. Because when I give tzedakah, I'm giving the money, no strings attached, to the yoni. He needs money. A loan, on the other hand, he's going to have to pay me back. That's a burden on a person. Right? A person knows he has a debt to pay. Okay, he'd rather pay you than the credit card company with crazy amount of interest. Definitely rather pay you than the loan shark. But it's still a burden on him. You're not giving him the money free. So I would think, had a choice between the two, I should do tzedakah. But the halacha is codified by the Chafetz Chaim himself that, you know what, a loan comes first for two reasons. Now the Chafetz Chaim did us a tremendous service to give a plug for his sefer. Right? I'm sure we're all famous with his sefer on Shmir Salashon, sefer Chafetz Chaim. But he also spent a lot of time writing a sefer, Avas Chesed. That sefer is a practical guide for Chesed. There's halachas, there's inspiration. It's been translated. There are a couple editions, even into English. Not sure word for It might be one word for word. I think Feldheim has one. But wonderful, wonderful sefer the Chofetz Chaim gave us about Hilchot Tzedakah. So the first halacha, this is Chelek Aleph, Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph. Look at the Chofetz Chaim writes. I'll start from here. Mitzvah Saseim in HaTorah Lahavos Ani Achyenu. It's a mitzvah to lend out money to our to the poor people amongst our brethren. Right? Chofetz Chaim is using the words of Chazal. In Kesef Talves Ami as the Ani Imach. That you give, lend money to Aniyim. The Isa Mechilta, the Chol Im Shabbatar Rishos. Normally in is a Rishos, you're not required to do it, if. But three of these is an obligation. This is one of the three obligations. And he brings a Raya from a Pasuk later, V'havi Tabitenu Derech Tzivli. Okay. Chofetz Chaim writes two reasons over here why Halva, lending money, a Gemach, comes before tzedakah. U'mitzvah zu gedola yosu mitzvah tzedakah. This mitzvah of lending out money is a greater mitzvah than tzedakah. Firstly, she'ena ani bosh badavar kolkach, because the ani is not so embarrassed when it comes to taking a handout, straight up money. That's painful. It's painful to ask for the money. It's painful to receive the money. Chofetz Chaim didn't make up this idea himself. It's really based on the Rambam on the top of your sheets. Rambam Sefer HaMitzvos talks about the idea that there's embarrassment taking money. And I should point out that embarrassment is not limited to a case. Okay, you know, the guy has to plead his case in front of you in public and you go and give him money. It's talking any case of where a person gets a handout, even in a situation what's more what we call matan b'seser, right? We have someone for Tom Shabbos, they'll deliver food for these aniyim, they'll ring the doorbell and run away in the bushes, right? So somebody's doing a very good thing, because the moment the guy opens the door, he's not giving the handout to the person himself. But you know what? The receiver knows he got a handout. The giver knows this person is an ani. So there is an innately in a sense of busha there. So matan b'seser is the best way to give tzedakah. No question about it. But still giving tzedakah automatically has a sting of embarrassment. And thus, one reason that a lone gemach is a greater mitzvah than tzedakah, because that embarrassment is shava kesef. It's worth money. Yes?
If it's not the giver, though, if let's say it's like a Rosh Yeshiva or someone collecting for poor people in the town, so he doesn't feel that busha, I don't think, when he comes to you, and because he's not the poor person. So when you give him $1,000, there's no busha there, and you're still giving your tzedakah.
Correct. That's a good point. If someone's collecting for an institution, so you're right. In that case, the person doesn't feel outright busha from the collection. I must tell you, of what I'm told, they feel busha in many other ways too. People can make them feel busha, but right, people don't treat them well. That's busha. But you're right. That case is a little different, and that's not an ani per se, right? Not so pashut. No. Not so pasha. You give to a yeshiva, get an institution. You're going to say, well, if the yeshiva can't pay its employees, so they'll all be aniyim. Okay, that might be true, but Ba'asher Usham, right now, you're supporting Torah. That's a little different. In fact, I'll tell you an interesting idea. Okay, that's a different collection. The first collection I assumed was talking about, you know, for yeshiva itself. Different yeshivas had different types of campaigns, how they get money. I believe, as once asked my Rebbe, Reb Henoch Leibowitz, about, you know, how to make a campaign. So someone would say, look, You know, in Europe they talked about, you know, the starving yeshiva bakrim, and they mamash have no food to eat. I'm sure some bakrim could dream up some stories. You know, it's too cold in the dorm, this and that. Reb Henoch's idea said that that wasn't kavanah Torah to raise money for Torah like that. It's Torah, you're supporting Torah. It shouldn't be a pity case. But you bring up, yeah, you could have sometimes as a shliach collect for somebody else. Now, I'll tell you the honest truth. I get people at my door, they're shliach collecting for somebody else. No, they're not. They're saying they're a shliach to save themselves from busha. They're collecting for a chassan. They're that chassan sometimes. You have to even know, you know. But lemaisa, when you have to endure the knocking and the going door to door, asking for a handout, that's embarrassment. As opposed to asking for a loan is business practice. And even though people know, okay, you're asking for a loan because you have no food on the table, but it's still, there's a pride the person has in himself, I'll be able to pay it back. So that's greater. Now let me go through the second reason, and then I want to harp on these two reasons for a moment. The second reason the Chafetz Chaim says that a loan, gemach, should come before flat out tzedakah, he writes, Gam shebezeh tomech yado umachzik oso. Also with this, he's supporting him, he's sustaining him, shesmotu lagamri, that he shouldn't fall completely. Right? You have people, they're down on their luck, but there's levels and levels. Right now, he still can afford to pay the rent. He can't really afford Shabbos, but he can pay the rent. So, at that point, if you give a person a loan, you give him money, so you're coming in there to preempt him from falling to the absolute low. If he has no food, nothing, he's of course going to be forced to knock on doors. But he's not at that stage yet. He hopes to grab himself back. One deal, all he needs is one good business deal to get himself out.
What happens when, and invariably, maybe not in the focus time, but in our time, okay, the loan's in default. And you, the lender, now you have to hound the time, whatever it is. Oh, and he's supposed to pay me back a month, whatever it is. And then you can, you know, and the guy's like, he's okay, down his luck. It's worse. He's never going to pay you back. All right, so, you know, that turns into more busha for him because, you know, he avoids you, he doesn't want to see you. I hear it all the time.
That's a very good point. Very good point. Yes, you know, sometimes when you're involved with a loan in a situation where the person can't pay it back, the amount of embarrassment involved is like tremendous. In fact, you remind me of a story. I saw a story of a person who was lent someone money, and the person didn't have the money to pay back, and invariably he couldn't take it. He skipped town and ran away with someone's money. And part of the reason he's skipping town, I don't think he's stam. It could be stam is a ganav, but it could also be, like you're saying, that there's like so much busha. Every time I see you, like, oh my gosh, I owe you money, I owe you money. Now, that's part of the Torah's din. You shouldn't oppress him. But there's, even if you don't oppress him, you just ask him for it, you know, whatever the terms of the contract are, you do it in a nice way. Still, there's busha involved. Let me just tell the end of that story. So I saw some story that it was years and years the guy skipped town, and the family knew that he skipped town with a lot of money. One time, one of the children of this and his family were on the West Coast, and lo and behold, they find the guy who skipped town years ago with their money. Calls up his father, I got him! He's right here! He thinks he escaped us. I found him. And the father said, don't bother. You know, there's obviously a busha in this. Now, that's probably lefnim asher hadin. And, you know, you lend money, you have 100% right. You're not giving him as a gift. You're lending the money, expecting to get paid back. So you're right. Sometimes these situations could drag out. That will be busha. You know, I think that's a cheshbon they really have to go through. When you are faced with making that decision, should I give this person money or not, you have to play out that if there is any legitimate tzad that he's not going to pay back the money, you know what? Well, let's not get involved. But you're right. You know.
I mean, anybody you're lending money to who's in that situation, yeah. You know, I mean, I know a guy who takes a shtar, if it's a significant amount, takes a second mortgage on whatever, and like, you know, he said, are you really going to foreclose on this guy if he doesn't come through?
Yeah. Let's hand that pause again.
Yeah, so Mr. Brass first. My father, who's not a religious Shomer Shabbos, he used to have advice, and I wanted to know if there's a basis in Torah.
Sure.
Because I kind of live by it. He says, never loan somebody money without the expectation that you're not going to be paid back. So when you loan money, just expect that you're not going to be paid back.
That's a very practical advice. I think that's very good advice. But there's not necessarily the chiyuv. I think that concept is true. If you're going to lend money, you should have in the back of your head there's a chance you may not get paid back.
He looked at it the other way. It's a bonus if you do get paid back.
Yeah. So that's your father, Kananahara, was on quite a madriga, I see. It's a beautiful schuss. Right? But not so simple. Yes?
When you write off that loan in your mind, does that become accurate?
Yeah. 100%.
Does it become you?
Huh?
Does it become you?
It's not an Aveda. It's a loan. So you're right.
What about when it's ordered by Shmi?
Oh, very interesting point. Right. With loans, an important halachos of a prizbol, you make a prizbol for all the loans, which is commonly done the years before Shmita, so you should be okay.
Commonly. If you've given up on
Yeah, Yish works by, Yish is a whole complicated halachic concept. It works by something stolen, and it works by something that's not Veda, that you physically lost. A loan, that's not really Yish. You might give up hope, you know. You're Yish on your football team. It doesn't mean they can't win. So same thing, right? You give up hope on your money, if it's your money and it's owned as a loan, that debt the Torah recognizes regardless. You can't undo that, unless you want to give it to them as a present. Fine, it's meiser, it's great. Now let me just focus on these two ideas, right? So again, the first idea is the concept that there's busha involved when you give someone a handout. There's less busha, not saying it's free of busha, but there's less busha by a loan. And the second idea, that there's a second mitzvah, v'hechazakta bo. It's a mitzvah in Parshas Bahar. They should help a person before he hits rock bottom. Hold him back. And anything you can do to help him with that, that's a big deal. Now, let me focus on the first one for a moment. I think this is also greatly misunderstood. If there innately is an element of busha in tzedakah, and the reason why we're saying halva is greater than tzedakah is because there's less busha, it follows. If you could give tzedakah in one of two ways, with more money, more busha, less money, less busha, which is the preferred way to do tzedakah? The answer is the second. In most circumstances, obviously there's circumstances people are totally desperate, are totally in trouble. Okay, they'll have to take the money with the busha. But it's usually, as a rule, better to give tzedakah in a way where there's less busha involved, even if it will mean getting less money. I'll give you a simple example. Today, there are a lot of tzedakah campaigns all over, you know, cyberspace, right? Look at any Jewish website on the side, and they have these heart-wrenching pleas. This person died with X amount of kids, this kala, it's been through so much, this child needs a crazy expensive surgery. Now again, if you're in an absolute desperate situation, okay, you're molchazayin sometimes, you give in. But in a normal situation, you know what? It's better that the details and the specifics and definitely the name of the person involved should not be publicized, because you're saving them busha. People give more money if they know who it is, if they know the dire straits. That's not a calculation, first of all, that, you know, you have to ask the people involved. That's not a simple calculation. You see from the Chafetz Chaim, the default setting is the less busha, the better. Think about the ani. He has two choices. I could get the money flat out, a handout, or halva. The Torah says give halva. What do you mean? I want the money. No, you don't. You don't want the busha. Busha is shava kesef. Embarrassment is worth money. I'll bring you another raya. This week's parsha. Beautiful shmooze. Right? We know that if you have a ganav who steals, you know, a sheep or an ox, right? So if you shecht him to sell it, you pay different amount for it. If it's sheep, you pay 4, and if it's an ox, you pay 5. 5 times the value. So the Mefarshim are bothered by, why do we have this discrepancy? It's a flat out rule. If you steal it, okay, you pay double, that's kefal. And if you damage it, if you shecht it, you should pay 5 times. What's this 4 times for a sheep? The Torah says, you know why? Because when you steal the cow, so you walk down the street with the cow. Yeah? It could be you're an owner. But when you steal the sheep, you're running with that sheep in the street. You look like a bandit. The Torah says, we recognize the fact that involved in your geneva was an element of busha. There's embarrassment. I remember hearing once, it's a shmooze from Henoch Leibowitz, but there was an actor. This is a wonderful story. His name is Rabbi Yaakov Usher Sinclair. He's a rabbi in Or Sameach. He writes this, he's the editor of their internet Dvar Torah, the Ornet. So Yaakov Usher Sinclair used to be an actor, very involved in the entertainment business. So he once acted out the shmooze. Can you imagine? You see a guy running with a sheep. If I interview the bandit, I ask him, how do you feel? I feel great. I just made up with a great sheep. Boy, am I going to rake in the money from it. Are you embarrassed? No. Right? I think there's, you can find in the archives of, you know, interviews of people, you know, when there's riots in town, everyone's, you know, making away with things, you know. This guy proudly says, hey, I made up better than that guy. Full big screen TV. But the Torah understands in the depth of a person's heart, there is busha. There's busha, there's embarrassment for the means of how you run out stealing something. So that's worth money. You only have to pay 4 times, not 5 times. So too over here, in this other halacha in Parshas Mishpatim, when you're judging tzedakah, you have to calculate the busha factor. Even if it means the person getting less money. Because busha is shava kesef. It's worth a lot of money. Secondly, this idea, the second idea of the hechzaktabo, the mitzvah that you're supposed to help a person make sure he doesn't fall all the way down. That's a big deal. And it's obviously better, that's what this mitzvah is, to preempt a person before he falls into poverty, to help him out. The easiest, most practical way is give him something to help him out in business that he could afford to support his family. The Rambam, Helchas Matnas Aniyim, it's on your sheets, but he says there's like 8 different milos of tzedakah. The ultimate milo of tzedakah is to give someone money that they could stand on their own 2 feet. That's a big deal. If you give them tzedakah, if you give them a loan, you give them something, help them with business, give them a business idea, train them, that will be make the person self-sufficient. There's nothing that gives a person more pride than having the ability to support his family. That's a big deal. Right,
survive.
Right. That's a difference, right. If the Torah's mitzvah, you're right, there's a difference between a loan for a person who's already doing well in business, just you're going to help him grow bigger, Yeah, that's the mitzvah of giving him a loan. He needs money. It's true. But obviously, it's a bigger loan, and that's that mitzvah, that zaktabo, only applies to an ani. Very good point. Now, there's a fascinating story. There's a nice Jew in, I believe he lives in Lakewood, named Duvi Honig. I don't know if that name rings a bell. Yes. This guy started off as a simple yeshiva bacher, kol guy. And he noticed, you know, in the growing, I guess you call it yeshiva community, people sitting and learning for many years, afterwards deciding that they, you know, trying to help with parnasa. And had some people that, you know, weren't well trained in that area, unfortunately. But in the meantime, they're looking for a job. What should they do? Well, you have other people. You know, business is not simple. People have jobs, you know. Sometimes it doesn't work out. They're in between jobs. They're laid off. So he started a very interesting idea. He had an idea. Look, there's so many people in the firm world. We could probably, and everyone knows these mitzvahs, helping out another Jew. What we have to do is really network people. Get from people, in contact with from people. What's the odds of a person getting a job? Mostly, you know, hey, another Jew will help him out, hopefully. So he started a networking kolo. What he did was he gave some small stipend for these people sitting and learning. Part of the day, they got business training. Vocational training, maybe training how to do interviews. Pretty basic stuff. And he also he got them involved in networking. He brought people in, people who own businesses, people. And tons of people got jobs through this one person's initiative. It started as a colo, network colo. He then started this Parnassa Expo. He rented out, started small, but eventually renting out the biggest exposition centers in New Jersey, bringing tons of vendors and people hiring, people showing off what they have. The Parnassa Expo, huge event attended by thousands upon thousands of people. And this is another way he made shidduchim. One person.
Is this the guy from the telephone company?
I don't know that he's from a telephone company. Right? That's right. I know I forgot his name. He's referring to as a firm guy from a telecommunications company that also has some job training. But that's this, I think, that's IDT guy.
Yeah, yeah.
This, I think, has grown to even be bigger. It's been around already for like 10 years. He has a Jewish chapter of commerce, chamber of commerce. Very, very involved. I saw him when he was pitching his idea to Rebelsky. He has a video of him talking to Rebelsky, Zatzal. And he's like, tell him about his idea of helping people get jobs. Rebelsky's reflecting, yeah, I remember my father helping people with getting jobs. You know, he grew up, it was people just, there was a transition period from the push carts on the Lower East Side to people getting, you know, shutting up shop with normal stores. And he remembers his father helping people, guiding people how to do it. They didn't know. Love Jewish immigrants. So this one person came up with these ideas, and one person has mamash accomplished the velt. You go on, look up on his websites, so much going on from the ideas of one Jew. Hey, let's help other Jews with Parnassa. I'll tell you, it's an interesting idea, you know, to build up the idea. You know, it's one Jew thought of this idea that if I set something like this up, we could help people. He claims what inspired him to do this was a Gemara in Brachos, Daf Gimel and Beis. Now you think about it. Nowadays, how many people are learning Gemara Brachos? Quite a few. You look around, you see a lot of Gemara Brachos is around. Gimel and Beis, the Gemara Guva talks about Jews, David HaMelech was sitting there and he's worried about the Parnassa of Jews. So the Lashon in the Gemara says, "Lechu nisparnesu zemizeh." Go and be mefarnes and do, have parnasa one from each other. So that's what hit him with this idea. Hey, you know how we could go and help other Jews out? Let's network. Let's get parnasa one from each other. You help out my business, I'll help out your business. And that's what they did. Amazing, amazing idea. Now, really this concept of helping a Jew in terms of business, training, ideas, so many simple, small things. If you have experience, any degree in the business world, there always are people starting off and they could use help. This is a big idea. But I'm going to go through what I would call some smart chesed, right? We have smartphones, smart watches, some smart chesed of different ideas along the way. This Mr. Honig's idea is a big idea, just in general job training and all that. There's even more basic things, maybe even smaller things. If you look at the Sefer Chassidim, he writes, Yeh tzedakah she'en neretz k'tzedakah. There are certain types of tzedakah which people don't even realize is tzedakah. V'hu lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu tzedakah me'ula. But Hashem knows, in front of Hashem, that's a great tzedakah. Kigon, ani she'esh lo chifetz limkar. You have a poor person who has something to sell. This vendor is poor. He has something to sell. O sefer she'en chavetzim liknos. He wrote a sefer, not so popular. No one wants to buy. The adam koneo miyado. You buy his wares. You buy his sefer. Or v'cheinani shechavitz lichtov. He wants to write a sefer. Wants to write a book. V'nachim rolls askiro. No one wants to write them out. V'hu maskiro. But you read them out. Ain't stuck of a mile any mano. This is no greater tzedakah. He works hard in selling his wares, in writing the sefer, in selling his product, and he feels good about himself. This is tzedakah. I'll get to the practical element of this. The Chafetz Chaim talks about this too. When you give somebody, he's an ani, he's not doing well. But if you buy his product, you're giving him money, and you're making him feel like $1 million. You may not be giving him $1 million, but he's feeling that way because, look, someone's buying his thing. You know, sometimes you find, you know, you're on vacation and you go into one of these, like, you know, souvenir shops, an artist. So there's some artists, oh, wow, you know, their stuff is flying off the shelves, big price tags, fancy store. Okay, that's one thing. You see some guy, no tzvas, selling some painting. You know, it looks like the guy could use some money. You buy his thing. Now, we'll hawk exactly in the miser. How much could you write that off? I wasn't really going to plan on buying it. I have no place I want to put that. Right? Okay. But you can help the person out. Great. That's a cheshbon. And when you give him, the guy didn't even realize he got tzedakah. That's what you call smart chesed. Smart tzedakah. You're indebted to tzedakah. You want to help him out. He doesn't realize that. He feels like $1 million. You appreciate my painting, great. You appreciate my safer. You like my object I'm selling. That's awesome. Because you're helping a person out to do this. Now I'm going to read to you the second half of the Sefer Chassidim, because it has a very important idea. He writes, Avon Tira is Sheyachal Lomod, Vumaven. You have a person. He knows how to learn. He's a sofer. He can write things. The guy's lazy. He doesn't want to work. He just wants a handout. Fortunately, if you know, you look in the political world, you know, there are many people that, depending on the government stance, would rather take a handout than take a job. Right? It fits better. It works out financially better to get your unemployment and your welfare than to work. In Titim Lahem Tzedakah, Zakta Sefer Chassidim, early Sefer, if you give them Tzedakah, Korea Ni'aleim, the Tzedakah V'hinei Tzedakah, that this is not the tzedakah that's supposed to be. Obviously, very, very tricky. You know, so Rachmanu Litzlan, there are cases of people that can't work, whether it's because of a physical reason or mentally people have issues. If they can't work, they can't work. You can't say, oh, go to get a job. Not everybody could. But assuming that a person really could, but whatever. Right now, so I don't think this applies so often, but the Sefer Chassidim wrote it. You have to know, sometimes by giving a person a handout, you're not doing better for him. It's better for him to give him parnasa. And I'll digress a minute for a concept. There's no shaila that a person who doesn't have food, doesn't have things, doesn't have means, you have to help him out with food. You know, Tomchei Shabbos is a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful organization because there are people that can't afford to make Shabbos and it provides them with Shabbos. But in the scheme of things, it's a band-aid. You're not solving their problem. What you're doing is you're providing Ba'asher Hashem for what they need. Really, with that, a person who's poor, a person who's in, now not everyone, there are some circumstances depending on the age and the physical and the mental state of the person. You know, not everybody could be helped with employment and with a means of parnasa. But there are people that could. You know, like this Dovi Honig started in Lakewood, and there exists in other communities too. Is a concerted effort to get people training. Sometimes it needs therapy. All different ideas, but help the person v'achzaktabo. He should stand on his own 2 feet. He should, with pride, provide parnasa for his family. And just putting a band-aid on it, just giving him handout after handout, not so simple. What this person really needs is a job, is parnasa, is to support him, himself. Now, Chafetz Chaim writes about this idea of doing business in the back of your sheets. That any time you can help someone with parnasa, that's included in the mitzvah of exactibo. And the Chafetz Chaim says, the Chafetz Chaim writes in many places with sharp language. I'm reading from the third line. This is outright rebuke to certain people. They need a worker. They need an Uber. They don't go and get the Jew. Listen to the Chofetz Chaim's understanding. If a guy's driving Uber, if a guy's a menial, simple job, he obviously can't be doing too well. So you have two choices. Saying it as it is, you could hire the Mexican or hire this poor Jew. So the Chafetz Chaim says it's Shaykh under the mitzvah of Echzaktabo. So Lemaisa, you have to support him. Chafetz Chaim qualifies it later. Even if there's a difference in price, providing it's not a big difference, okay, we can hawk afterwards how much that has to be. But assuming there's not a major difference in both the price and both the quality, if there's some, even if there is some trade-off, but you could get the Jew to do it, or you could get someone else to do it, you have to give it to the Ani. I would say the other way too. You have two Jews involved. One Jew, Baruch Hashem, is well-to-do. His construction business is doing great. The other one, not so simple. So you have to know. Again, if there's a big trade-off, you can't do what you need him to do. It might be different. But assuming it's a simple paint job. Who do you hire? Even if it costs a little extra money. Even if he doesn't get it exactly perfect. The mitzvah to help out a person. Because that's a way, that's tzedakah. You're helping the person out. But it's a smart way of giving tzedakah. This person doesn't even realize. So that's what the Chafetz Chaim says over here. So, Itaka go through in life. You know, we started off Okay. I have tzedakah cases when people knock on my door. They go around in shul. Loans, maybe, yes, no. But if we really open our eyes, there are lots of cases of where we can help out another Jew, help out a person who's poor, and that's a mitzvah. By going about your daily business, hiring people, hiring vendors, buying from people, that's also a mitzvah tzedakah. The businessman who says, you know, 9 to 5 is business, he's missing it. There are unlimited opportunities on a daily basis, depending what line of field people are involved in, where you can help out another Jew. And that's 100% the mitzvah of tzedakah, a mitzvah of echzak tibo. Yes? Beautiful story. That's an Adam Gadol. That woman has a beautiful story of Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky that when he lived in Muncie in his later years, so the first person that opened a Shomer Shabbos drugstore. Can you imagine, Baruch Hashem, how many Shomer Shabbos drugstores are in Muncie today? But years ago there weren't. And the first from person who opened a drugstore, a pharmacy, he said that Rabbi Yaakov would introduce him anytime he could. He saw him at a simcha. Introduce people. Hey, do you know who this man is? He owns Shomer Shabbos store. And yes, it's a big idea, you know, to support someone like that. Especially, you know, someone starts a business, and when you start a business, you're always on shaky ground, and it's not simple. So especially in the beginning when you start something like that, you know, okay, years from now, you may not be an ani anymore. But when he starts any business, any small business, you know, hey, Alan, if the government is looking to help out any small business, right, to give them some money, right, all the more so, as Jews, we know it's not simple, these endeavors. And whatever one could do to help someone else out, it's a big deal. I want to end with one story of smart chesed, which absolutely blew my mind. Started as a simple story. You have a woman, nice mother of children, who meticulously saves her children's clothing. As kids outgrow it, she puts it in a nice bin, stores it away. But as time goes on, kids are getting older, what's she going to do with these bins? Okay, so Baruch Hashem, there are multiple, like, snuck organizations. This lady said, you know what, maybe I'll do one in my neighborhood. So she wanted to make a clothing gemach from her clothes, and she solicited some of her friends. So in her basement, she had a little clothing gemach. People that needed it could come and get used clothing. Well, Baruch Hashem, her little endeavor grew and grew to the point of servicing a lot of people, had a lot of clothes in it. It didn't fit in their basement anymore. So her husband and her decided, okay, Baruch Hashem, our gemach is doing well. You know what? I think we need to find a new spot for the gemach. It's growing. It's not a basement. We need, like, a warehouse. A big place we could store our clothing. Now, the way it worked was, you know, people have businesses in their homes. People didn't know that this was a gemach. At least the kids getting the clothing, for sure, did not know it was a gemach. It was made to feel, the whole environment was like you were shopping for clothes. They had nice racks and salespeople to quote unquote help out. So they raised money for this gemach. There was money raised. So looking for a warehouse, but they needed a few things. They wanted it to be a warehouse that was discreet. It can't be right there in the thoroughfare where everyone else is going to shop. Okay, you're shopping in the fancy store, and we're shopping in the free store. You can't have it on the same strip as all the other stores. It has to be, we're funding it, so it's got to be at a good price. And thirdly, it was also when, this is the type of thing that women would go with their kids at night, later in the day, after a full day, the kids are home from school. So it had to be accessible in a good neighborhood, you know, not a warehouse, you know, on the bad side of the neighborhood. So they're looking, they found a place which was a perfect spot, perfect location, everything, except, of course, as Mazel has it, the owner of the warehouse was a weird fellow. And they're trying to petition him, willing to sell his warehouse. Guy was strange, this. One day he gets back to them. I'll sell you the warehouse. If you come up with $360,000 in 4 days. 4 days, that's 4 days is like a crazy amount. I expect to come up. That's it. You want it? Otherwise it won't be sold. Okay, they had multiple interactions with this guy. They knew it's the way the guy is. But it was the perfect location. The price wasn't crazy. But they had no money. So quickly, you know, this husband of the Gemach lady raised $30,000, another $30,000, $60,000, hawking. So a friend of his who was a gevir reached out to him. He said, I'll give you a loan. I'll lend you the $300,000 you need to buy it. Condition, you pay me back $50,000 a year for the next 6 years. That was reasonable. The fundraise, $50,000 a year for this gemach, it was servicing a lot of people. He said, yeah, I'll do it. He got the money, bought the building. The building was a huge warehouse. To tell you how big this chesed organization was functioning at that point, they had 40 volunteers working at nights with the people. They developed a whole system. After you got your clothes, you checked out at the register. They had tags. They literally scanned everyone's thing. So all the kids going shopping with their mothers thought their mom was buying clothes. Except the scanning was just to keep inventory. It wasn't any money exchanged. It's totally gemach. So hold on. So this beautiful endeavor, it was blossoming. It was going great. And this husband had to raise, you know, the $300,000 to pay back. He called up one federation or an organization. They thought it was such a beautiful idea. Everyone heard about this gemach. He said, no problem. We'll give you $150,000, which would have paid off. They already raised other. We paid off the whole debt. So he calls back his friend, his original debtor, and the lender. He tells him, I think I have the money to pay back. It's great. This organization, you know, agreed to pay for half of it, $150,000. Love it. Okay, so we're going to put their name on the building and this. His friend turns to him. He's like, wait. But isn't your whole idea that people shouldn't realize, the kids shouldn't realize that their mother's taking them shopping in, you know, in Gemach? You're going to have the name of the federation up there. They'll realize that. So the husband, the Gemach guy, said, who says the kid's going to notice the sign in the building and this? Never. It's $150,000. If you're giving me $150,000, you get to have your name up there. He saw that his friend wasn't comfortable with this. The next day, his friend, the lender, calls him back. He's like, I couldn't sleep all night. I felt that if the name would be on the building, it would take away, it would have some degree of busha that these kids might have, that their parents are shopping in the Gemach. He's like, I'm ready to give you the $300,000 straight up. Just don't put that name on the building. An amazing, amazing story. This person should be blessed. He understood it's not just about giving money. It's about giving money in a way which takes away busha, which takes away embarrassment. It's worth $300,000 this Jew was willing to give. So a kid shouldn't look up and see a name and realize, my parents are shopping at a Gemach. Thank you very much for listening. Have a wonderful, wonderful week.